This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
You all right?
You good to go?
Okay, right. You sat in the chair and folded your arms.
I mean, Steve, over the weekend, I know we had a little chance to talk, and I saw this article about offensive tackle Isaiah Wilson, who just 3 days after the Miami Dolphins traded for him, was recently waived. And we were talking a little bit before this, and I guess it spurred up some things maybe you wanted to hit on in terms of what this brings about from seeing something like this happen in the NFL.
Well, just with everything going on, I think sometimes people have this false sense that an NFL player or potential first-round draft pick, seventh-round draft pick now, and say, oh, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. How can this person do this? And so we start off by talking about Isaiah, but I'm going to move past him and just kind of put it in the category of this. What this young man is displaying has no different than someone who did not play sports, who has tricked off an opportunity. Yeah. For some reason, we put people in sports category position, like, how dare you screw up? And so one of the things one of many things that I know really, which is really hard to decipher and figure out, is if I use the same analogy of we remove the athlete and we just plug in a name and a place, one of the things I know about just the world where we are, you can go to any community right now, less in the middle class, but you can go in any community right now where there's poverty. And what is it? Chaos, turmoil, things are happening, things are said. There's just so much going on. And that's hard to just turn away from and say, well, I'll just ignore. Like, you can only play so many sports. At some point, when the games stop and you go home, you go back to wherever you are, it will affect you. Yeah. And so you have that chaos, you have that turmoil, and then you have, that's on the outside, then you have what's happening on the inside. And then you get an opportunity to go to a college and play football, go to class, but you still can't turn off the images. You still can't turn off the things that these men and women young men and women have experiences. They were young men and women to now they become adults, and then they get drafted. Those things don't leave. Yeah. They don't change. Yeah, you may have money to maybe cloak those images, but they're still there.
They're still there.
When they're laying in a bed in that nice big bed, now it's instead of sharing a bed with four other relatives, now they're just by themselves.
Right.
And so with him, I think, yes, he's in a place where he gets to choose. Yes, does he need help? Absolutely. But sometimes we don't even know that we need help.
Yeah.
We don't even know, because if you have had something happen to you and it's never addressed, when you become that doctor, you become that professor, where you become that government official, that football coach, that football player, that quarterback, that podcaster, audio video guy, weatherman, weather girl. All that has done is you now are those things with the same baggage and stuff you've grown up with.
Just with the title now.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now you just say, football player that
who has some sort of baggage, has some sort of trauma.
You know, yeah, or who was sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Who was molested as a kid.
Right.
Who witnessed their mom or dad pass or OD or whatever the case may be.
The point being, you're coming from something.
Yes, if it has never been addressed, that issue that has never been addressed, now you're just an adult.
Right.
If you have not been heard or listened or cared with, you become a lawyer or a doctor that has never been cared or listened to. And you still haven't dealt with.
Right. And we don't know what neighborhood he's come from or what trauma he's gone through, but just evident on making choices, that's relevant to whomever it is, right? Like life at the end of the day becomes about choices, and whether it is, you know, he's been arrested on DUI charges or has had a trespassing warning, I don't know what that's for or what's up underneath.
I mean, it's definitely not good.
It's not good. But
you never read a trespass that was with good intent.
Yeah. But where I do read this is just saying somewhere along the lines, something is probably going on in this young man's life, right? To where something has happened, but at the end of the day, it does come down to choices, right? And that's what I think that's what I'm hearing you say,
it comes down to choices, but it also comes down to really, I'm coming from this the angle of the people who are saying, calling him all kind of names and saying, how dare he, as if these individuals, you've never screwed up an opportunity.
Right. You didn't mess up in college.
That's one of the things if you were to follow around some of these regular folk, show how they act at the at the local happy hour on Snapchat, it might be some folks losing it.
We all make mistakes.
Hold on.
It's just that these get broadcast.
Here's what I love listening to. I love listening to a radio station. I like listening to Steve Harvey in the morning. I always love listening to Nephew Tommy's prank phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's interesting is he'll say something, and you know it's a prank, but you hear the person on the other call, you hear them lose themselves.
Yeah.
And you'll start to hear him like say stuff. You'd be like, "Damn!" And it's just I always find it interesting on those prank phone calls because they sound so buttoned up. And then when he keeps pressing them, and then they get real uneducated.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Whatever's in you, if you get squeezed hard enough, what's in you will come out.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's the difference is we're not. They're not writing articles.
Yeah, you're not on public display.
Mm-mm. So that's the interesting part.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. And I think that's worth pointing out because, yes, right now a lot of people are throwing dirt in his name and saying, man, he's really screwing up this opportunity. But we don't know what his backstory is. And we don't know what the root causes are for him to do whatever he's deciding to do.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Yeah. No. But we hope he gets everything that he needs and somehow he bounces back.
And this is not about football.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's not about how quickly he can get back on the field. Because I see that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Like, people always wonder, how quickly is he going to get back on the field? Or even with Tiger Woods just getting injured recently, how quickly is he going to be able to get... Like, let's think about his quality of life first. Did that ever run across your mind?
Nope.
Like, is he going to have the same quality of life? So no different than from that to this. Like,
do you know why?
Let's think about Isaiah Wilson's quality of life, because he's a human at the end of the day.
People don't really look at it because you're their entertainment. And when you no longer can do it, get rid of them.
So transactional.
Get rid of them. Let's move on. Let's replace them. Thank goodness they ain't replacing some of these other daddies who working late.
Hmm. Speak on it. Speak on it.
So, all right. Well, who we got?
Coming up on the Cut to It podcast rookie spotlight series, we've got Sean Wade, a cornerback for Ohio State University. He is up in the 2021 NFL draft process. Sean Wade on the Cut to It podcast. So you may be familiar with Steve Smith. You may be familiar with the whole phrase, ice up, son. This is our version of our own icebreakers. So they're random questions. It may be something as random as E-40 or Too Short in a versus battle. There may be a follow-up. There may not be. But Smitty, go ahead and give him the first one.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You can only eat the same plate of food for 1 year. What will be the items on that plate?
That's hard. It'd probably be some type of seafood. Crabs, shrimp, oysters.
Whoa. What are you talking about? Scrimp or shrimp?
Oh, shrimp.
Hey man, don't let him have that one. Don't let him have that one.
I was like,
no. Let him know where you from and that you said it accordingly to where you from.
I'm from Florida. I got a little Alabama accent, so it kind of intertwined.
Yeah. Alabama and Florida, I get crimp.
I ain't gonna laugh because my grandmother used to say scrump.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
but it just threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I think. That probably all crowds, oyster shrimp, you had a little sausages and corn, and that'll probably be what I eat for a year for real.
Yeah. So for a full year, you're going to eat
seafood bowl.
You're going to eat seafood and sausage.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I can do that every day.
All right. The seafood or the sausage?
The seafood.
Oh,
okay. I'm going to say the sausage. Come on now.
They try to trap you, bro. Don't.
Hey, listen. This is my segment. I love just the random. And it's also it gives you an opportunity to show your personality, but also, joking around and I know I also come across and come off very serious all the time. So this
you?
Yes,
never
shocking. I know
never.
So this is good. This is good for me. You have the opportunity, you will be drafted. But take us in the mind. You're drafted, blah, 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 blah. What have you been eyeing to buy?
Property. To be honest.
Property. Is that property. The cool answer? That's what you really want?
That's the real answer. I'm not into all the cars and all that. I'm going to buy my mama a house and all that stuff. But my thing is property. I'm going to do real estate. So I'm definitely going to get some type of property and things like that.
Okay.
Man, know somebody who knows something about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, my girlfriend, her dad does all that real estate stuff. I got other family members and people that's just like mentors that help me understand that stuff. It's still a lot I have to learn because I've been in this football process of what I've been locked into. But that's just the things that I want to do. I like houses. I like upgrading houses. One of my goals is to upgrade a lot of the houses in Jacksonville. It's like a lot of little hood houses and things like that. And just helping families out at the end of the day. Like a lot of families, at the end of the day, it's kids still staying in the same room until 14, 15 in high school, and they don't have nothing. So that's just one of my goals, and that's how I just want to help people.
That's pretty good. That's good, man. That brother, man, it's surprising to hear him talk and talk about his goals and aspirations. And to know that he's a defensive player, man, that's usually
you 3 for 3 already, man. You are coming out guns blazing. You are coming out guns blazing today.
All right, this is last one right here.
Yeah.
You can go 44-4 at Ohio and lose to Michigan every year, or go 4-44 and beat Michigan every year.
But that's a hard one. I ain't gonna lie, I'd rather beat Michigan.
I knew it was coming.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I'd rather beat them. I had to go 4-44.
All right. That's cool. I like that. Let's get down in to the meat and potatoes of it. Man, your favorite sports team growing up?
Favorite sports team? I ain't got a sports team. I got a favorite athlete. My granddad played 10 years in the league back in the day. My favorite athlete is Allen Iverson. Grew up watching him, the tattoos, the braids, had all that stuff. All the headbands and things. I was a basketball player, so that was things I loved about him. He's just a great athlete. So.
All right. So where are you from and the place you call your hometown?
All right. So I'm originally from Montgomery, Alabama, but the place I call my hometown is Jacksonville, Florida.
And then you grew up in a military family.
Yeah.
So how was that for you as a kid?
It was hard. I moved around everywhere. I started all my sports, all school. I started all that in Italy. Sister's born in Italy. I was there for a little bit. Wow. I came back to the States, and I was with my grandma. She take care of foster kids, so I've been around that that system, been around a lot of different kids that didn't have nothing. White, black, Hispanic, all. She had all when I was with her for like 2 to 3 years. And me and my brothers were here for a couple of years. Then we got up and moved to Jacksonville, and I've been in Jacksonville since. So,
what's the good and the bad about being a military kid?
The good is you get to travel and see a lot of things. Bad is you just always up and moving, and it's a lot of good friends that you make even when you're young. And then now you got to make new friends and things. And with me, I'm very quiet, so I already don't talk to people. I already kind of hold myself in, so it's already hard to open that shell for me. So,
you know, we read this. Your dad said you were very sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the way you were raised?
As the way I was raised? Well, I would say they kept me out of the streets. That's what he mean by sheltered. I feel like the things that a lot of my friends got opportunity to do, I didn't get opportunity to do, because they always kept me in sports. They always kept me in the classroom. They always kept me traveling.
You said you played other sports, but I want to really go down that other sports. So what other sports did you fall in love with?
Did I fall in love with? Definitely basketball. I'll probably be the only one. That's because that's all I played. And, you know, it's at football season, it's basketball season. And the summer is travel basketball. So that's all I played. And then you got 7-on-7. So it really was basketball. I liked it. Like, I didn't really like baseball. I didn't like soccer. I didn't like track like that. It was just basketball. And I was a pure basketball player in middle school, elementary. I used to play up all the 2 years up above my age group. So I always played up, and I was just very good at it. So
attending high school, Trinity Christian Academy in Jacksonville, you guys won the state championship all 4 years.
Yes, sir.
Bro, who was on your team besides you for to have that powerhouse? Because Florida, Florida's part of Big Three. Florida, well, actually, California, Texas, and Florida.
No, Florida.
We made that known.
Okay, so I'm sorry. California, yeah. Florida, Texas.
Nah. Florida.
Okay.
Is it Florida number one and it's a close second, California? Or is like Florida runaway?
It's Florida and whoever y'all want to put after.
Okay. So I see this
young fella. Young fella. Young fella.
You know, majority of the Hall of Famers in the league aren't from Florida.
Okay.
No, it ain't okay.
I'm just listening, but
okay.
I'm just trying to see what
most of the Hall of Famers.
I love this wide receiver, defensive back. The state of jargon right now.
The state of California has more Hall of Famers in the NFL than Florida.
Okay, the state of California is extraordinarily big too.
I mean, it's a lot of big places that don't.
Yeah, I understand. They got a lot of people that come out of California. I got to do my research on this. So I can't argue. I can't argue about that.
You can't. It's facts.
It's facts. I still got to do my research. So I can't come back with you about this.
Well, okay. Whatever team you get drafted with will most likely be on Thursday Night Football. And when I see you can come up to me and say, damn,
I was wrong.
You was right. We are a bigger state.
All right.
And we also have bigger ballers.
Sean ain't backing down. So he is preparing for his NFL career already. He is not going back down from this wide receiver.
I don't know about that.
Oh, come on, man. I was trying to throw you alley.
Nah, I love it. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, but who were some of the other guys were on your high school team that maybe went to college or whatever the case may be? I mean, you guys in Florida playing, winning championships all 4 years, that's not an easy task.
Well, not at all. Not at all. So we got a lot of people. Kevin Toller, he's still in the league right now. You got Jeff Holland. He was good. A lot of our coaches played in the league. Gus Scott, he played for the Patriots back in the day. He won a Super Bowl with them. You got Ross, he played with the Seattle Seahawks. You got Jamie Harper, he came out of Clemson, went to the league, played for the Titans. You got there's a lot of people. The one that got his arm cut off from Miami, that played for Miami, Kendrick Norton. It was a big news. He played for us. I played with him.
Wow.
We just got a lot of people that came out. Isaiah Ford right now, he played for Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people. You got
Isaiah ended up going to Virginia Tech.
No, yeah, Virginia. That's my mentor. He really was one of my mentors. He actually molded me into who I am today for real. So
bro, Isaiah is awesome, man. Great body control. Man, ball can be thrown in the clouds, bro. He'll catch that thing with his feet, come back down. He's great body. I just say his ability of body control coming out of college.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Watch him. He just very good body control.
So, but now we just had a lot of people. So and then coaching, this coaching staff over there is unbelievable. With B-Man, he just kept everybody under his weight and everything. Got a lot of people from different sides of the jobs. We got north side, south side, people that's on the west side area going to Trinity. So it is a lot of people that sacrifice they do for their family and the school and things like that. So
Sean was for sure a baller. He was a USA Today High School Football Player of the Year, and he won the Lockheed Martin Defensive Back of the Year, awarded by the Army All-American Bowl. So definitely capped off a great high school career with some really good accolades before attending Ohio State.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we got to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. You got checks.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. Cuttoitpodcast.com.
Do you love football?
I love football. That's the reason why I play. If I ain't love, I wouldn't be here.
I just had to ask. So what do you love about football the most then?
I love about football. I ain't gonna lie, the contact. I love to hit at the end of the day, the contact and just the friendships you make after at the end of the day. And I love to compete too. I love to compete. That's all I've been doing my whole life. So, and this is the sport that God blessed me to compete at. It was either this or basketball, and this is one I chose for me. So
at a Trinity Christian, what other schools were recruiting you? And then why did you ultimately pick Ohio State?
So I had a lot of schools recruit me. I only had a top five. I had Notre Dame, Alabama, Virginia Tech.
slight flex.
Gotta flex them out.
Got to. And then Florida. Those are schools, you know, Ohio State. I wanted to go far from home, though. I wanted to mature. I just wanted to mature and get something new at the end of the day. I want to get out the South and learn something. At the end of the day, like, that's just how you got to be. Like, I feel like a lot of people stay close to home and it don't work out and things like that. And if it's the other school that was better for you, you just didn't want to be far from your family and grow up like that. So I just wanted to grow up, and I just liked the Coach Combs and Coach Myers at the end of the day. They was great coaches. You know, Coach Myers did a lot of great things at Florida. And then the schooling and the alumni system at Ohio State is amazing. Like, we were at one of the top in the nation, in the world, for real. So after football, I know I'm going to be successful. Just make sure I make a lot of friends outside of football and things like that.
Smart.
Oh, yeah.
Smart. And tell us about your best friend, Kobe. What happened and why have you chosen to keep his memory alive?
I chose to keep his memory alive because I feel like, I'm not going to say it's my fault, but at the end of the day, I feel like I could have pushed him to do better and do more things. And he just did a lot of things for me. He made sure I was always straight, took care of me, and things like that. The year before he died, not the year, but a couple months before he died, he was staying with me. He was forcing him to play football for Trinity. He was coming to workouts and things like that. And eventually, like, he just faded away. He was like, he don't want to do it no more. So he was like, all right, man, we're going to let you do what you do. And then he just got back in the streets, and that's just how it happened. And me and my other friend, we just felt like it was my fault because he was at my house all the time. We was taking care of him, feeding him, putting clothes on his back when he needed clothes, taking him home to get clothes to come back over and things like that. And I feel like I should just kept on pushing him to do better things. And then before that, the week before he died, he was going to the military too. So and a lot of that is from my dad just trying to help him and my family just trying to help him. So,
when you talk about your family, man, how much has family been such a part of who you are today?
It's a big part because at the end of the day, my dad really didn't have nothing. A lot of people don't know this, but my dad, he got kicked out of the house when he was young. He was living across the street while his family was across the street and things like that. And he was living with his best friend. So, like, he had it hard. My mom and my grandma, she was a singer. She was a single mom at the end of the day, taking care of my mom and things like that. And she had it hard. So at the end of the day, they both had it hard and they both sacrificed a lot. My mom was a model when she had me and she could have made big money, but she sacrificed that just to have me. And I had to give that back to her. So just the characteristics that I have right now is from them. Like, my dad gives back to everybody. He makes sure everybody is straight. And at the end of the day, that's the type of person he is, and he'll mold that to be.
You know, playing at Ohio State and with your current NFL draft status and then playing on the teams and going back to that school, you got Chase Young, defensive player, defensive rookie of the year,
yeah.
Nick Bosa, you know.
Denzel Ward.
You got so many guys that you either played with for a little bit of time or are so fresh out, they still come back to the school.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that for a young man like you? Obviously, your freshman year, each year, I mean, I'm guessing your freshman year, you're kind of like, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's just the norm. Oh, you know, just hanging out with two
Jason,
you know, just two defensive player of the year, right. You know, rookie of the year. Like, that's something that you can't always cultivate. That doesn't happen at every school.
Sure.
But for you guys, it's the norm. Does that help you feel like your dreams of playing in the National Football League can really become real? You know, what do those guys mean to the for your school, but also for you personally when you have been able to be at practice or possibly sitting in the same chairs of some of the greats that made to the Hall of Fame, but then also some future like yourself and current players that are 2 years ago you were playing on the field with and now they're in the league.
Oh yeah, so it just showed the worth that they put in. They like with Bosa on. You got Marshawn. You got Denzel. Just it shows you when you're younger and you're looking up. Because at the end of the day, Chase had somebody to look up to, and that was Bosa, and it was Jalen Holmes and all them boys. And that work ethic got installed in Chase. When we got there as freshmen, it wasn't like that at first. Like at the end of the day, it wasn't like that for all of us. At the end of the day, we came in there, we didn't know what we was coming into. And just being around them players, it just installed a work ethic and the things that we had to do on the field to be successful. We all learned that from them at the end of the day. Like Denzel, you got Damon, you got Marshawn watching Malik Hooker's tape on film and things like that. And that's just how it is at Ohio State. The coach, you got unbelievable coaches. The strength, it's really the strength coaches though. It's really them. They install that work ethic. They install everything in us. Like that's who we with 24/7. Like Coach Mick does a wonderful job of. Building characteristics of players there. Like, it's really them that puts all that into players. So.
Coming from Florida, going to Ohio State, what was that transition like?
Oh, it definitely was different. We only had, like, four Florida kids on the team at the moment. And then, you know, that snow and that cold was
– A little bit different.
A little bit different. Nah, it was a bit different for sure. But, nah, it was great just making new friends and – understanding how just to grow up and being far from home, because at the end of the day, I don't know where I could go to LA and be far from home. So at the end of the day, you just got to learn how to grow up and take care of yourself and the things that my dad had, how to fix your tire, how to change the engine, how to change. It's just little stuff that you got to learn as a man, and I'm glad he installed that in me. But at the end of the day, Ohio State still taught me stuff. We've got a thing called Real Life Wednesdays where we have a person that comes in and talk about real life things such as financial stuff and things like that, banking,
financial literacy type stuff.
Yeah, all everything. It's not even just that. One time we had them talk about sexual diseases and why you should wear a condom and things like that. It's like it's everything because a lot of people don't teach you that stuff. You don't know. They don't. So it's just a lot of things they taught us, how to treat a woman, things like that, and just changing the narrative and things like that. That stuck with me forever because a lot of people don't treat women right. And some women just don't respect themselves nowadays. So at the end of the day, it's just you just got to keep on learning. That's the things that Ohio State does with.
I'm not sure what the protocols were at Ohio State. But I'm interested, what were some of your experiences in trying to attend schools during the pandemic when it first started, before they went into lockdown, before all that stuff? I know a little bit of what I experienced, but I wasn't in school. Because I can't imagine I had the ability to be at home and still have the roller coaster trying to figure things out.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, you weren't at home. You were in a place that, you know, you weren't familiar with necessarily when a health scare like this happens. So I was wondering what did you experience, and for you personally.
So during my experience, my experience was different from a lot of people. Right when the country shut down, I had surgery 2 days before, and I was stuck in Philly.
Wow.
And, I was in Philly with my mom, and I was doing like treatment there. And I was gonna stay there for like 2 weeks to do treatment so I could get back. But I had to hurry up and fly home because, you know, they shut the country down with no airports, no none of that. And my thing was, I couldn't do nothing. I was just stuck on the couch because I couldn't work out. I wasn't getting no therapy from nobody really like that. I was doing it like twice a week. And it was like 30 minutes to an hour. It wasn't like, it was, you know how hot it is at school. It was different.
Wasn't a real.
Yeah. So with me, it was just definitely hard. And I just felt like I couldn't work on my craft at the end of the day. Like, they were sending us workouts and things like that, but I couldn't do none of that stuff. And the coaches knew that. And that was my experience. But from people that's from my city, like Tyreek and things, they were just working out every day and just trying to stay mobile and things like that, and actually keep their family safe, because a lot of people have got COVID and died from it and things like that. So we were just trying to stay safe and things. But at the end of the day, when we got back to school, it was different. We couldn't sit by each other. We had to wear masks 24/7. We didn't shut down plenty of times. It was crazy. And I having no fans in the stadium, not be able to hear fans cheer, hear the band, play the band and things like that. Like, it was a big impact, especially for the freshmen coming in. Like, you know, as a freshman, all you want to do is go out and have fun. And they couldn't do that. They couldn't experience a college lifestyle like they wanted to. And it was definitely different for them. And then it's another thing, like, you know, that spring football is very, very important in college, especially for freshmen coming in, for people that's trying to get a new job. So having the spring, we just can't install that in the freshmen and how hard we work and how the play is working, things like that. They couldn't really learn football. It was just hard for everybody because our defense is brand new from 2019 going into 2020. We had a lot of people that was their first year starting, and we missed the camp. At camp during football season, I mean, during school, like that, I ain't never heard of camp during school at the end of the day, because now you got to go back and focus on schoolwork. When you usually do camp, you just straight football, and that's all it is. So it definitely was different with everything. And at the end of the day, man, we all had to just sacrifice. And that was the word we used, a lot of sacrifice, and just keep on fighting. Don't worry about outside noise and things like that. We had a lot of things going on with different cases. We had times where we had 20 people, half of our coaches were gone, half of the players were gone. And that was like 2 weeks during the season, like, of not having everybody. So,
wow. Well, this segment we got, it's called Let's Talk Ball. And so really, we just want to get more into things from just your playing career at Ohio State to what's going on right now with your draft process. So question one, playing in Ohio State, Michigan's your big rival. What is that like, playing in that game from your freshman year and progression through your career at Ohio State?
The funnest and most intense game you ever play in football, for sure. Okay. We do so much for that game. After that game, we restart the clock. And it's like every week we do like 300 and something push-ups, sit-ups, pull-downs, different things until we play the team up. We call them Team Up North. Then it's just very intense, and how the rivalry is and how we always fighting and things like that. We really don't like them. The game, we have jerseys on the floor. We stepping on their jerseys every week, spitting on them. We got everything crossed out. Like, that junk is real for us. And that's why I said, like, I'd rather go 4-44 than 44-4, because we put so much into that game, and we just don't like them. And I talked to a lot of teams that play for Team Up North, and they don't do the same thing that we do. So I don't know what it is with them, but they need to tighten up.
Oh, man. Whoa. I had a follow-up question there, buddy. But
not anymore.
Right, not anymore. Never right there. I mean, Steven said while you were talking, he said that's the most intense game you'll play in college.
Yeah, in college.
Oh, yeah, in college. NFL is different, for sure.
Okay. Especially depending on which division you go in.
Mm-hmm.
You go in that AFC North?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that thing tense. Like, I, you know, I played in NFC South, and it was originally NFC West and NFC South. Mm-hmm. I went to AFC North.
That was a different type of rivalry.
We played Thursday night.
Yeah.
I woke up Friday morning. I said, who the hell hit me?
Who hit me with a Mac truck?
It was Troy. Yeah. A whole bunch of brothers that hit me. I remember having my big welcome to the AFC North.
Wow.
I was still actually playing with the Panthers, and if you go back, I can't remember which one. I think it's the one with Michael Vick on it. But they Jake DeLone threw me a little turkey hole. It was cover two. Mm-hmm. Turkey Hill Ball got up, got it down. And man, I saw Ed Reed coming. Ed hit me so hard, and I caught it like that. He hit me so hard. He hit me in my shoulder and flipped me. And I literally landed back on my body. Man, it was like, so that was my welcome to the AFC North. I always knew it was different.
Yeah.
But you don't really know. You know, you can watch it and go, oh, it looks different. But then when you experience it,
that's different.
Man, everything felt, my knees hurt, but they were hurting a little bit different. Yeah. Was, you know, so do you have a welcome to the Big Ten football type of play when you, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior? All have.
Oh, my. Would definitely be my freshman. It wasn't even a Big Ten game. It was spring ball. And spring ball. My freshman first going into spring ball, going against each other. And I got ran slapped over, stiff arm. Like it was bad. And it wasn't even about a scholarship player. It was about walk on. And
I was gonna ask you who did it. Do you remember who did that?
Yeah, I felt embarrassed, but I came back and won the game for it, so I was okay after that. But I was embarrassed, though. Like, that's why I knew I had to hit the weight room, get bigger, different things like that. So,
how has the draft process been for you so far?
I've been straight. A little bit frustrating because I got a couple injuries that I'm still dealing with from the season. I had turf toe during the season. I didn't have to get surgery, luckily, but at the same time, it's still not healed up. I didn't got a cortisone shot. I didn't do everything for it, and it's still biting and messing with me. So I've been a little frustrated. It's still a blessing because I'm in this position at the end of the day. A lot of people want to be in my position. And at the end of the day, I just got to go play football. That's all that matters right now. You know, no matter what round you go, you just go play football, and the big money is always the next contract. So,
all right, given an opportunity, what number would you like to wear?
I got too many. Definitely two four.
You only can wear one.
You only wear one, but I got definitely 2-4. I could go 21, 20. I can see myself in 41. I like that for some reason. So 25, I wore that in Pop Warner. 24, that's college number. 21 is just I like 21. You like 20. You're going to like 23. Those numbers you just don't like.
21 is a DB number.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. It is what it is, but I don't want no 30 number. If I do, it'll probably be 33.
All right, so I'm gonna just go ahead and put that out there, and ask you the question, but it's not gonna be in the way that you think. So I'm a veteran, you know, play 16 years. You're fresh. You're gonna be a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
We're all known for you're only as good as your last game.
For sure.
In your last game, it wasn't your best game.
Oh, for sure.
How are you using that to prepare yourself? And before you answer, here's why I ask that as you think about it. In the National Football League, in, you know, even in football at college, but so much so in the league, guys will watch film on young players. And all you can do is go back to college.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But then also, when you start looking at film on a guy in the league and you start to see guys that, well, maybe this guy did him like this, and I know I'm better than that guy, so mm-hmm. I know I can do this. How are you mentally preparing yourself when that veteran comes out, when this young, fresh-legged, ambitious DB now, this wide receiver is now going to say something. Oh, I'm going to do you like, oh boy, did you? He did you like this. This is how I'm going to do you. How are you mentally prepared, or have you even thought about that? That somebody
I really ain't thought about that. But at the end of the day, I just know myself. I ain't going to let nobody get in my head. Like, you do all the talking, that's what you do. Like, that ain't a part of my game. Like, I let my play talk at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, I know what I can do on the field. So, like, whatever y'all saw in 2020, that wasn't me at the end of the day. Like I said, I was fighting injuries, things like that. And you ain't got to know that. I know myself at the end of the day. And I ain't worried about what people say and things like that. I know I'm going to wrap up. And that's just me.
Yeah, no, it's not necessarily a saying.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, it's just this is a great opportunity to talk to the young guys. You're a rookie. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be a rookie and talking to. Because one of the things also is it's not necessarily just talking, but it's also being able to also, I give the example.
Mm-hmm.
I've always struggled with my confidence. So in struggling with my confidence, I've always worked hard.
Sure.
And so when I'm working, I'm already in visualizing what I need, the opponent that I'm going against.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also having so much, I had to calm down and quiet the negative conversation in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
And so now if you add that in and say a player's going against me and he makes a few plays on me, he may not be talking to get in my head. He just may be talking. It's like, bro, I'm shutting you down. He's not saying it out of malice. Yeah. Unfortunately, it just might be happening.
Yeah.
You know,
that's his assignment.
Yeah, that's his assignment. He is doing his assignment darn well.
Yeah.
And then you got the negative talk. Man, that's a combination of, for me, a negative cocktail.
Mm.
And so in that, you know, being prepared, and that's why I'm asking you, not necessarily putting on front street of your performance, but more that's the part about ball up in the league is 10% of it is your skill. Mm. The other 90% is what you're talking to yourself through the week and then on game day.
For sure.
You know, I know you've probably saw a wide receiver drop one or two passes and you can pick out he's done today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for right? sure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so you luckily haven't had many of those days. You only played 4 years. I played 16 years. I can tell you right now, man, I was playing – I think it was the Indianapolis Colts. And the quarterback throws me a pass and we on that turf and some freaking reason that turf monster got me. I was running a deep dig. I used to do a Cadillac turn. So when I hit that, when I hit inside, I hit that
old
18,
school.
I'm leaning back.
Dominant the back.
Y'all dominant. Gangsta lean. I don't know what I hit. Bop! And I feel myself, he's throwing it on time. Mm. And I'm trying to, you know what you don't do. I'm fighting the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going and I feel myself. I fell simultaneously when the ball was on time. You know where the ball hit me?
In my
face mask. Not the head. Face mask. I was actually Detroit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but the way the ball hit me, I was actually embarrassed. I literally wanted to cry.
Dang.
I was in the huddle and they were like, Smitty, you all right? And I was like, no, I'm not.
Wow.
And that's just one of those things. And I think I was in my eighth or ninth year.
Wow. So you still a vet, even in that, right?
Yeah. And so just, you know, but that's that 90% of, I knew what kind of player I was, but for that split second,
mm-hmm.
I have more doubt than I usually have in that game at that moment.
It even brings up a question for me. Sean, how do you deal with adversity? Because, I mean, you dealt with injuries in your college career. Then you had to deal with COVID-19. So how do you project dealing with adversity as you enter into the NFL and beyond?
It's really about that self-talk, like you were saying. That's that negative self-talk, keeping that out your head and things like that. I just started like doing therapy. Like people understand what you need that stuff. Like you always need help from somebody else just to help you learn that stuff and learn your ways. Cause I was looking at something on Instagram today. A lot of black men, they don't like to point out their flaws and what they go through and their negative things like that. So that's something that I've been working on myself and things like that. And this is really the self-talk to help yourself, man. That's really the main reason. Your self-talk is your biggest flaw. Now, a lot of people won't notice that, but it is.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut through it. Cut through it. Let's get down to it. Cut through it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
What can we expect out of you, or what do you expect out of yourself coming into the league after you're drafted?
Just coming to the league, actually just being a team player at the end of the day and working hard and getting better, progressing, getting better. Learning from all the vets and older guys, watching them at the end of the day and just getting better. Learning defenses, because at the end of the day, I do want to coach. So just learning from coaches and things like that. You can learn from everybody, and it don't have to just be players and things like that. You can learn from coaches. So that's my goal, for sure, to get on the field and start, make plays on special teams. I know I'm going to be on special teams. I already know. So you got to make plays on special teams, and you just got to do your job. And my goal is to win Super Bowls. I'm a winner at the end of the day. It ain't about myself. It's about the team. And I like to win. I like to win games and get rings. So
you got a bachelor's degree in sports
industry.
what?
So that it just talks about all aspects of sports. So I didn't learn about the law, history.
So that's a sports industry is a major.
Yeah, it's a major.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a
major.
Bro, I'm 42. They didn't change the whole degree system.
So, Sean, our last segment is called the Deep Three. There are three questions that take us beyond who you are as a football player. So, Smitty, go ahead and give them the first one.
How much pressure do you put on yourself? And once you feel that pressure, when it kind of gets to that boiling point, how do you release it?
I put a lot of pressure on myself. I ain't even gonna lie. I'm just hard on myself at the end of the day. I want to be perfect, but it's nothing. It's let's be real. It's kind of impossible to be perfect. It's like only person that's perfect is Jesus. So I put a lot of pressure on myself. I got big goals for myself, like I told y'all, and things like that. But how I'm getting through it now is like talking to people, different things. I got my girl that I talk to, and she helps me get through that stuff and release all that pressure and things like that. You got my family. They help me with a lot of things. So. That's how I release it and things like that. But I've been starting to read a lot of books and things that's helping me just calm down and different things like that. Because let's be real, pressure do get to people, and that's just how life is. Regardless, like, and you're gonna have pressure. It don't matter what things you do in life, you always gonna have pressure. So, I didn't have times where I did great with pressure. I didn't have times where I just sucked with pressure. So that's just how it is, and you just gotta learn from it.
I mean, you alluded to big goals. What is your big picture? And what do you see for your life on and off the field?
On and off the field, I just want to do a lot of good things for the community. Not for myself, for the community. I just want to make sure I help the city of Jacksonville out, help the city of Montgomery out, and just help kids out in general, and put kids in better predicaments. I got a lot of friends that just didn't have that father figure in their life to just push them to the limits and understand the bigger goal in life and not just the street life. And, that's something I definitely want to do. I want to take a lot of kids under my belt, and that's what my father did. So that's something I definitely want to do for sure. I want to build an AAU team, 7-on-17. Those are goals that I got. Me and my friend, we want to build a school one day in Jacksonville just to help people out and things like that. So those are just goals that I got for myself and things like that. And then on the field is just to just be the best me. At the end of the day, don't worry about nobody else. Just be the best me, and just win games and win the Super Bowl. Win as many championships and Super Bowls as I can in a day, and just be the best me, because the best you is the only you. So, and you only get one chance at this lifetime, and I'm here. So I just got to do the best thing for me and what God has taught me. So.
What do you fear?
What do I fear? Mm-hmm. Only person I fear is the Lord. I ain't really got no fears like that. I don't like roller coasters, but that's only thing. I don't like roller coasters, but
I only fear the Lord.
And roller coasters.
But you can choose
to not get, like, you just don't up and fall into a roller coaster. So yeah. you can make that valid choice to not get on a roller coaster.
And Ohio got a monster roller coaster at their little fair.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah. So yeah, he don't fear nobody.
Just roller coasters.
Just a roller coaster.
It ain't a person.
Yeah. Well, man, hey. Man, I look forward to watching your career, man. I think you're going to have a fantastic career. I know you're excited about the process, and you should be. This is a great opportunity for you, man. Take all the time, absorb it, remember it, you know, stop and smell the roses too. You know, you're going to be meeting with some of these general managers, some of these head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You want a little tidbit? Ask questions too.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Look forward to watching you play, and good luck in the draft, man. I know whatever team gets you, you know, I know you're not fully healthy, but, you know, rest up and keep doing your rehab and stuff, man, and you'll be back out there sooner than later.
For sure, I will. I appreciate y'all.
Do athletes in his position generally recognize how rare this opportunity is?
Absolutely not. We don't. You can't.
Thanks for keeping it 100. Ew. That's what I wanted you to say.
Bro, you cannot.
Yeah.
It is you can say you do. Oh, but you don't know.
Do you think people have like the rose-colored glasses on?
Absolutely. Yeah, you have them on there, but it's not because they don't care, they're not intelligent, none of the negative connotations that you believe.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with if you never experienced it,
yeah,
which is hence getting drafted the first time, you just don't know what to expect.
You don't know what you don't know.
You even when someone's telling you.
You still don't.
You still don't because it just comes at you so fast. It was interesting hearing him say, you only live once, so make sure you do the best of it. Make sure you take care. Bro, I am 42 years old, and I sit back sometimes and I go, yeah, didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. Life's still going to be a learning experience.
Absolutely.
And it's always the best teacher.
But you can be prepped and prepared all you want. You can be prepared, just like Sean. You can be prepared for spring practice. You can be prepared for that, the starting running back. But then here come that non-scholarship, pow, and just that truck
sweep
you.
Play. Yeah.
And you don't, because you think, oh, I got this.
Yeah. I've seen a sweep before.
Yeah, I've seen a sweep before. You ain't seen it like this,
right,
brother.
Right.
Because he's coming at a 7.
Yeah.
That starving like Marvin, unscholarship walk-on running back.
Mm-hmm. Who got something to play for right now.
He's at a 12.
Yeah.
And I know some of y'all listening wouldn't know. 12 is a lot more than 7.
But you especially on this scale.
But you really don't know what a 12 is until, bang, 12 smacks you in the face,
right,
runs over you.
Now 7 that got de-cleated.
Yeah. And the only thing you can think of is something that Les Brown said. When you get knocked down, if you can look up, you can stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes it hurts going down.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get up, you'll dust yourself off, but there's a little bit, you know, you're just not sure. Love the kid. I think it'd be fantastic. I think I don't know how his career is going to go because a lot of it depends on where he gets drafted, how he heals up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, a turf toe, playing on that artificial turf is not going to make it feel better.
Yeah.
But it'd just be interesting to see, man. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team, Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck. Production manager, Sarah Pollock. Theme music by Alex Johnson. Lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton. You ain't heard about